activities that were associated with that, because this is just still in a time when we worship God and we exalt God, we still have a sobriety to us in regard to how God is working in people's lives. You've seen it on TV, may witness it even in your own workplaces, where people are more conscientious about what is God going to do in our lives and how is God going to help. And because of this opportunity that seems to arise when people are more apt to talk about spiritual things, I believe it was fitting to, again, return to our series in the book of Romans, because we're at a point when all this took place where God is taking and sharing with us where the true power is. It's so easy to, in the midst of everything that has taken place in our world just recently, to think that the power is associated in some other form than what we're going to discuss today. And that's why I thought it was critical for us to jump right back in here, because God's timing is incredible. And I believe that we will be equipped today with things that will help us to be prepared as we deal with what is going on in our workplace, maybe in our homes, maybe in our neighborhoods, in regard to what is going on and where is hope. I'd like to ask you, if you would, join me in prayer. Father, again, I come to you in prayer, and I do so realizing that there is no other way to come to you but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I am thankful that you have made that so clear in your Scriptures, and that you have been so gracious to make it available to us so that we can read it, understand it, and obey it. Father, I pray that this morning, as we have opportunity to give forth your word, that you'll use me as your vessel. Lord, pray that you'll use me to encourage. Lord, that people will be challenged, but they will not be so discouraged that they won't want to do, but that instead they will take the word and be comforted and encouraged that you can work through them. And Lord, I pray that that would be same true for me, that I may not be discouraged with the task that is before me, but instead that I might allow you to use me in the fashion that you desire. And God, I pray that you would indeed use your word to comfort and challenge, spark us, equip us. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 1 again, and beginning in verse 14. Many of these verses are reproduced for you. So if you do not happen to have a copy of the Scriptures, you still can see what God is saying. We want to draw your attention to a passage where the Apostle Paul, let me just explain who the Apostle Paul is before we get moving into his claim before these people of Rome. The Apostle Paul was an individual who was bent upon eliminating Christianity, if you can believe such, that he was, for the time that he held the clothes for those who stoned the first martyr, Stephen, was on a mission to eliminate those who would name the name of Jesus Christ. For he honestly believed that when Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried and that someone stole his body away as a fraud. But in the midst of his desire to persecute and squelch this false religion called Christianity, Christ himself appeared before him and confronted him and called him to be a vessel for his work. And now, years later, we have the Apostle Paul writing a letter, and that's what the book of Romans is a letter to the churches in Rome that he hadn't had an opportunity yet to get involved with, writing to them, encouraging them that he so desires to be with them. And he writes an eloquent doctrinal, that's a teaching statement, on what is salvation, what is hope in God, what is after this life. So it's a fantastic book of truth. And we're still in his introduction. And in his introduction, he wants to share with them what is going on in his heart, what makes him move, and what causes him great comfort, and what challenges him. And I can't help but think that the events of the last week and a half have caused us to think, what is this going to motivate us? Certainly our attention has been gotten. Certainly, we're going to be making some changes, but what are we going to do? How will these changes affect us? Certainly, we want to do things more for God, but what is that that we want to do more for God? It's coming to the place of taking the general stance of, after this, I'm going to be a better blank, to how do I become better at it? And the book of Romans here gives us an idea of what it was that motivated him, and I think that we can get some good impacting words as well. Because he's talking about the power that was within him and the power that he was depending on. Let's look at three different things. The first of which is the debt we owe. Usually we do not like to think of the fact that we owe anybody anything. We don't like the idea of thinking that we are in debt unless it might be for something we want, like a new car or a house or some new furniture. And it doesn't bother us because we can say, okay, I've got the merchandise, they've just got to wait on me to pay them back. So that indebtedness doesn't seem to bother us as much. But when we're indebted to somebody else, if they do a favor for us and we have to reciprocate, so we think, there's that uneasiness. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about a debt that he has. And I think it's interesting. I want to take the time to talk about it just briefly to help us understand and ask the question, do we have a debt as well in regard to the gospel? Verse 14 says, I am debtor, this is Apostle Paul talking, both to the Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. See, back then they had quite a whole collection of what was going on in Rome. See, Rome was the power, but the Greeks had come before the power and had developed the culture. They were the ones that could take the time to philosophize about everything. The Greeks were the ones who considered themselves refined. They were the ones that had all the manners. And they were the ones that were considered the upper class, if you would. So when you talk about the Greek, you're talking about refined people. And they also talk about those that were barbarians. Now, barbarians, usually in my mind, I think of someone running through the countryside with a curved sword, you know, just wreaking havoc is what I think of when I think of a barbarian. Or Hagar the Horrible, or something like that, if you read the cartoons. But that's what I think. But in this context, it's not talking about just those evil people who like to stir up trouble. It's talking about those that are not refined. So Paul is giving an idea that regardless of status, he concluded he had a debt to these people. He had a debt that he owed them the gospel. He owed them to share it. He also talked about the wise and the unwise. Now, the wise would be those who are learned, those who understand, comprehend. Unwise would be the opposite of that. So we're talking not only status, but also maybe mentality and an ability to assimilate the information. We have those that are more literate and less literate. You have those that are going to comprehend great truths that are way up on the top shelf. And you got others that just bring it down. And Paul is saying, it doesn't matter whether I'm going to philosophize and argue with the Greeks or whether I'm going to sit down across the table with the common man and talk to him. I feel indebted to these individuals to share with them about what Christ has done. Now, what I believe he's talking about here is that he's saying, and you'll see this in Romans 9, if you were to look at that one, in Romans 9, when he's talking about his relationship with God, in Romans 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Beautiful passage. But right after that, in Romans chapter 9, he goes into almost like a cry out and saying, oh, that if only I could give up my own salvation, that my countrymen would accept Christ. Gives you an idea of the debt that he sensed that he has. It's kind of the idea of why should I have this precious gift of eternal life and others not? And that type of a debt of realizing that if I have it, I must share it with others. If I have hope, I need to share that hope. If I have peace, I need to share that peace. That's the type of debt he's talking about. It's so easy to get caught up in our own little worlds. so easy to get distracted by the things that we have and not feel that we have any real concern or involvement with those around us. There's just so many faces, aren't there? I mean, it just seems like they got their life, I've got my life. But Paul didn't look at that way. He looked at them and saying, I owe them, and I need to share with them, and I need to make sure that they can have the same hope that I have. I took time just to jot down a few things practically because I'm one of those individuals, if you happen to be one too, that gets so caught up on what's going on around me. For me, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, I'm so easily distracted and I don't notice a lot of different things that are going on, and I got tasks, very task-oriented type person, and want to get those done and not always thinking about the needs of other people and their special need of spiritual needs. So here's some things I thought about to help me, and I hope they will help you too. So I'm just going to go through them real quickly because you might be like me in the fact that you don't automatically, when you see somebody, think, oh, they need the gospel. I want to share that with them. Here's some things you can start out with. Number one, start being prayerful for other individuals and praying that God will give you opportunity to interact in their lives. There may be individuals that you work with, people in your neighborhood, people. And again, you're making this list not because you are desiring to find out, okay, I'm good and they're not. Here's all the bad people list. No. That's not the point. You're not sitting there evaluating, okay, well, they really need it. No, that's not the point. The point is, it's a compassion list. It's not a judgment list. And there's a compassion list of saying, God has allowed me to touch certain lives. Now, if I'm confident that person has a strong relationship with Christ, I can put them on a different prayer list. But if we're not sure, we can put them on this list. That would be a list that we can pray, God, just help me to be used in whatever fashion to encourage them spiritually. So that prayer, as it's going on, will help us to be more conscientious and open to how God will use us. Second of all, get close to God. That seems so simple, doesn't it? But you know, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to want to talk about Him. Isn't that true? The closer you are to Him, and the more that He has an impact in your life, and the more that you are feeling the heat from His great light, the more you will glow for Him. I don't know if you've thought about it that way, but you know, we have no light in and of ourselves. I was going to bring a flashlight and a mirror and show you how it works, but I'm afraid I've gotten caught up with that and distracted. But the idea is we have no light in and of ourselves. Jesus is the light. And as He shines the light on us, it reflects out so that others can see the great truths of His light and what a genuine life is conformed to Him. And as we get closer to God, we get more excited about Him. Now, the individuals that I have discovered that are the most excited are those that had just recently had a major spiritual change in their life. Because that's something to talk about. I can remember when that happened to me, and I didn't have any option but to talk about it. It was so exciting, and it flowed over. I was in a seminar just this last Friday, and it was talking about what is happening in our churches. There's a man by the name of Barna that does statistical research of Christians and others as well. And basically, what was discovered as they've done all these researches, etc., is that 80% of the people who claim to be Christians will say, or have said, statistically, that no significant change has taken place in their lives spiritually over the past few years. That what that is telling us is that for the most part, there is nothing going on in our lives. We're just doing status quo. We just show up, do what we're supposed to do, find a job in church, go on, and just have it as one little nook of our lives. And as a result, because we are not burning, there's nothing to heat up around us. There's nothing for people to say, wow, what's with you today? Oh man, I got to tell you, this last weekend, I just can't express how real God is to me right now. Now, does that sound overbearing and jamming things down people's throat? No. Gracious, if you went to a ball game on Saturday and you come in, what's with you? Hey, old man, did you see that game? It's natural, isn't it? And right now, folks, more than any other time since I've been alive, it's much more open to it. 2 weeks ago, you come in talking about God, they're like, don't want to hear it. We got other things to. Now, people are just sitting on the edge of their seats saying, you know something about that? What do you know? What do you got? I'm just getting what I'm getting from the TV, and it's just really kind of vague and such. But you got a personal relationship with things are open, folks. And the closer we get to God. Thirdly, focus on eternity. Focus on the fact that life is more than just what we're seeing right now. And as we see that, then we'll be more apt to want to be more open and concerned about others. Fourthly, and this is not hard after what happened 10 days ago, life is short. And just realize that and remember that. And not in a way that you're going around fretting, but going around just so that you're just as James says, life is a vapor. Gone. And we need to be conscientious of that. Fifthly, think of what others might be missing. Did you ever think about that? And this goes along with number two. If you don't have anything, you can't think about what they're missing. If your attitude is this, oh, well, you know, when I got to go to church and listen to that guy talk and we sing these songs and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know if they'll like that or not or whatever, and, you know, just all these, and they can't do this or that or whatever, and you got that type of attitude, don't you? Well, I wouldn't want to hear what you guys say either. But if we're excited about what God is doing in our lives and we think, wow, through all this difficulty, God was a real source of comfort to me. Throughout all the worries about what's going to take place, what if all our financial structure of this country just bottoms out? What happens? As a believer, do I have hope? Do I have encouragement? Do I have faith that my God will take care of me even in those type of circumstances? Are there people out there that don't? Are there individuals out there wondering if they're going to have to go and fight a war with people we don't even know for sure who we're warring against? Individuals concerned about being drafted and going into this? And do we have hope? And do we have encouragement? Do we have something worthwhile as believers in Christ to share? If we do, we can think of what others might be missing. And fifthly, we might think of what others might not miss. And that would be the Bible says that we are condemned if we believe not. And that there is a real hell that is out there. And the fact that they may not miss that if they don't have the truth. Those are some things that help us develop the debt mentality. As we start looking at individuals as people who may need some encouragement and some help from the Word of God, that helps develop that debt mentality. Let's look at the next point. It says, all set to go. The debt we owe, and all set to go. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Now, Rome was quite the place. Rome probably could be similar to a New York City. It was one of the great metropolis of its day. Yeah, they say all roads lead to Rome, and that all things took place there. Did you know that half the people in Rome were actually slaves? I mean, they had such a commerce there that, and such a situation going on there that it was an impacting place. And quite frankly, it would be an overwhelming concept. I remember one day sitting and listening to a missionary to New York City showing slides and talking about his evangelism. He spent time in the subways handing out gospel literature about Jesus to different individuals with a sea of people that would go by. And he said he never once, out of the years he did that, saw a person twice because of the magnitude of people. And I thought, wow, that's hard. That's a hard ministry. You know, you hope to see some follow-up, hope to see some fruit, hope to get a chance to, you know, build in people's lives. And I think that was what probably Rome could have been like at that time. And it just people in and out. And Paul saying, I'm ready to go there too. And to be involved with that. But what is it I set to go? There's things that I thought about regarding us because, you know, I don't think God is necessarily calling the whole group of us to go to a New York City or anything like that. But we have some opportunities here. What is it to be prepared? Prepared personally. I think that goes along a little bit with what we talked about already of what are there things in my life that need to take place? Well, first of all, let's look at it from a very practical standpoint. In order to help others, you have to be in a position to help others. And the first thing we need to know is we need to be secure in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want to bring others to the gospel, the good news of Christ, and how if they can have hope of eternal life, we need to have that hope of eternal life. I was listening to a testimony of an individual who was at the seminar on Friday, and he was talking about it was during his college days, and he had heard about hope and excitement, and had picked up these gospel literature tracts and had a bunch of them, and it was so neat stuff in there, and he was going through and sharing it with everyone he ran across. And eventually, one of the people, as they're reading through it, he asked the question, now what do I do? And the guy said, well, you know, I really don't know what you do. All I know is it's kind of neat news. It sounds pretty cool. And I said, on the next page, it said what you could do. There was a prayer there that talked about how that you could accept, believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And here was a guy who had been handing out tracts and with a great love and compassion for other people, but had never made the decision himself. And so when someone asked me, he said, well, let's find out what it says. And he turns to that next page and he accepts Christ himself. And what a difference that made in his life in sharing the gospel. But being prepared involves, number one, you know, being a child of God. If you want to encourage others to be children of God or to accept Christ as Savior, you need to have done that yourself. Also, something that helps prepare us is to ensure that we're working at trying to grow to be more like Christ. If we're bitter with Christ, we're upset with Him, we've got an attitude, and we just don't want Him to be important in our lives, it's going to be hard to help other people. If you're not confident to draw yourself towards Him, you're not going to pull others toward Him. Second is being equipped evangelistically. Now, many of you may not be excited about the prospects of being equipped evangelistically. Now, different individuals are saying, well, it's just such a overwhelming task to share the gospel with other people and be responsible for what I'm sharing with them concerning their soul and eternity. And I understand that. But I want us to look at some different things that can help us to where we don't have to come away from here thinking, oh, it's just so overwhelming, I can't do it. Let's just look at some simple things that might help us. First of all, if you have placed your faith in Christ, and you do know you're a child of God, and you do know that you have eternal life, you should have what is called a personal testimony. Now, personal testimony just simply is your story of what Christ has done. Now, for some of you, you have some really neat story. I mean, you remember every aspect of what took place. You can tell a lot about what took place before because you were older in life, and when you accepted Christ, you have a lot of this stuff you went through before you came into confrontation with Christ, and you have a lot of things you wrestled with during the time when you were trying to accept that, and then, boy, your life changed magnanimously afterwards. Boy, for you, it's just testimonies are neat. Now, for some of you, you can't remember a time when you didn't know the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. You don't remember a time when you didn't know that God had sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. And for you to go, wow, a testimony? Well, what is that? But a testimony basically is just sharing the reality of what Christ is in our life. And maybe you do have one of these ones that will keep people on the edge of their seats as they're listening to you. And you can go through and talk about how you were before, what you did to accept Him, and how you changed afterwards. And I think that's, if you're in a category like that, that is the type of pattern you want to use. That's the pattern the Apostle Paul used in Acts 26 when he's talking with King Agrippa, and he's talking about, this is the way I was, and I gave you that information already. This in our introduction, Christ came to me, changed my life, changed my thinking regarding to Him, and this is what I'm doing now. That's a very simple testimony. And I would encourage you, if you are concerned at all about reaching other people, that you take the time to write down those types of things. Talk about how you were before Christ. Again, your purpose is not to emphasize that, but just a little taste of it. What Christ did to change your life, how you accepted Him, and thirdly, what is He doing in your life right now? But for those that maybe were saved when you were younger, can you have a testimony? Certainly you can. You can have the testimony of how God had saved you at an early age and preserved you and kept you from going through a lot of difficulties other people have experienced, and talk about how real He has been in your life and how exciting He's been, how much comfort you've had. And talk about all the benefits of Christianity as opposed to talking about all the changes in your life. Because it's still just as important as exciting. So I would encourage you, if you don't have one of those before, after, and now type of things, is to focus on what is there about Christianity is exciting to me now. I think that would go either one of the testimonies. What is exciting about me? What is the hope that I have? What is there that just really warms my heart? See, that's something that you can share with anyone, regardless of whether you get to another step or not. To just say, you know, Jesus is just so important to me. Through the times of trial and hardship, He's been a person I can turn to. And I never thought, you know, that it could be that good when I was a kid. But as I've grown older, He has become all the more important to me, especially in times of difficulties. Different ways, but it's your testimony. I would write out the idea. Second of all, I just put the word questions. Questions or comments, and these do not have to be designed to help manipulate people into situations. I'm not talking about this. I'm just talking about having a concern about the other people. Just listen. If you're willing to listen to them, maybe they'd be willing to listen to you. Find out where they're coming from. Find out what their needs are, what their relationship with God is, as opposed to just assuming you're a sinner, boom, here's the gospel, and go right on. Find out. Find out where they are in relationship to God. And encourage them. And thirdly, the thing that changes hearts is the Scripture. And it's a simple way of just sharing the truth of what took place. One of the favorite ones individuals use is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And a wonderful way to use this verse, instead of using the whoever's, place that individual's name right in there. You know, God loves you. He loved you so much that He gave His Son for you. That if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Another portion, we'll look at this more detailed as we move along, is that which is found in the book of Romans called the Romans Road, which talks about in Romans 3:23 how that all sin comes short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23 tells us that in that all of us are sinners. Romans 6:23 tells us that there is a wage of sin, and that is death. And that death that is going to be the payment for what all of us are. And then Romans 5:8 says, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that He commends His love towards us in that regard. And then Romans 10:9 and 10 gives us a description of how you deal with this big gap, and how do you have Christ? It is through faith in Jesus Christ and placing your faith in Him. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, especially for those like myself who thought that, oh, if I'm just good enough, I'll go to heaven. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is according to faith. And these types of verses, along also with 1 John 5:11 and 12, that you can know that you have eternal life. And these things were written for that very purpose. So there you can have an emphasis on what you can be equipped with. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, does it? Well, there's more to it, obviously. But I'm talking to individuals who are just saying, I just don't know what to say if someone asks me in my neighborhood or at the workplace or over the phone. What can I say? With this, you can talk about how Christ has made a difference in your life, and you can direct them to Scriptures and let the Word of God work on them. And then you can direct them to me if you desire, and I'll be glad to talk to them about specifics on how that they can become a child of God, accept Jesus as their Savior. Number three, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's verse 16. That is where we get to show. You ever thought it that way? How many of you grew up in a time where you had show and tell? Anybody? Okay, some of you did. And I can see some of you have more recent ones. But you have show and tell where you can take something to school and be able to get in front of people and tell them about this great thing that you have. Whether it's a pet rabbit or whatever it was that you just wanted. It was your day to show and tell. Well, you know, we can get that way too. Like the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul wouldn't have been ashamed to bring it to show and tell. Let me just put it that way. Just like the thing we would take to show and tell wouldn't be the thing we don't want to show. Like we don't want to bring snapshots of our room or something like that. This is my room. This is how I keep it. You know, no, we don't do that. Unless you're real neat, which probably most of you are, but I wouldn't do it in my room. But he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and was willing to share it because he knew more than these two things, but these two things come up. Number one is it empowers God's salvation. He wasn't ashamed of it because he knew it worked. He knew it was the power. The word used for power there is the word dunamis, which wherein we get the word dynamite. And we all know what dynamite can do. We all know what explosions are. We know what power is. This is talking about the power of energy, of work, of accomplishment. It's not the power of destruction. It is the power to keep things moving, to keep things growing, to keep them continually getting better. And that's the power of the gospel. It's not just to blow us out of our seats. The power of the gospel is to maintain us and to strengthen us, give us hope for this life and the life yet to come. For he knew there was the power of God for salvation. That word salvation is so aptly pictured in what has taken place at Ground Zero. Because in Ground Zero, that is a major salvage yard right now. Pile upon pile upon pile just taking over, and I believe if I heard right, 17 acres. Am I correct in that? 17 acre lot, which would be equivalent to the lots that get turned around. Lots over here. That was that whole. Those of you that were in our business meeting, that's a lot of rubble. And as I think of the word salvage, that's what it is. Salvation is bringing up out of the wreckage. And each individual that has been involved with the task of tediously removing those items of salvage in hopes of reaching someone who is yet breathing. That's the salvage concept. That instead of it being wreckage, concrete and glass and all that type of stuff, when it's in regard to the spiritual, there's the sins where our life is just crumbled on top of us. And the salvation is where Christ comes in and plucks us out of all that and gives us breath and removes us from it and continues to strengthen us and bring us life. What a tremendous picture. It continues to just pound in my mind every time I see that Ground Zero. And just this last week, they were talking about the many who have gone just to see it, and not one person could just look at it without turning away because it's such a devastating thing. Imagine with me, if you would, when God looks down at the world, and when He saw the world's sin and the salvage yard we were all in, He couldn't, it was out of love that Christ died for us, that He would come in and pull us out of that wreckage. And that's the power that we have. And second of all, it exposes God's righteousness. I'll read this verse. I didn't put it up that. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Basically what he's saying is that the gospel is the exposure. The lid has come off. What was so exciting for Paul is because he had lived a life, he'd been trained in the Jewish teachings, he'd been trained in all these different religious ways, and it was all, in his mind, clear. But when salvation came to him, the lid was opened, and all of a sudden, it was revealed that all those things that he had grasped onto were designed to lead him to Jesus Christ. And you never realized that before. And maybe that's true in your lives as well. There were a lot of things that went on in my life that I couldn't understand. People and situations and all these things that came into my life. And when I finally embraced the gospel, it was like the exposure took place and I go, oh, I see. I see who He is. He's Jesus Christ. I understand who I am. I understand how we get together. And I understand how that I can have righteousness through God. That maybe you have been trying to develop righteousness on your own by doing good things, by avoiding bad things, by trying to develop a relationship through works. That's what Paul was doing. He says righteousness is revealed or exposed by the gospel. And the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again. That is the hope that we have. And He exposes this. He reveals this so we can see it. Now as we come to the concept of faith, and I'm just going to give us a chance to look at some ABCs. Some of you probably have these little blocks at home if you have young children or maybe even saving them. But the little blocks where they have the ABCs on it. And there's three different words that I want to put out as the ABCs regarding the faith. Number one is this is what faith accomplished. A, it appeased the wrath of God. Now sometimes when we think of righteousness, we think of it in our context. And we forget about looking at it in God's context. Sin offends a holy God. We'll look at this in more detail in the subsequent weeks. But what he's saying here is that the wrath of God is appeased through Jesus Christ. When we accept Him and take on His righteousness, that wrath of the punishment we deserve for our sin is appeased, and so the anger is no longer there. Second of all, when we are without Christ and we're in our sins, there is a gulf between us and God. And it says, B, He bridge the gulf. When righteousness is placed upon us, that means that we can have access to God. This is probably some very encouraging words for individuals who are wondering, where do I stand with God? I don't feel close to God. I don't know where God is. B, there's a bridge to Him, and it's through this gospel. Because it not only appeases the wrath of God, it bridges the gulf to God. And let her see, when we accept Christ's death and burial and resurrection as payment for our sin, our debt is canceled. The cancellation of a debt, I think that there's nothing more exciting if you have had debt looming over you and had to pay that off, there is nothing more exciting than seeing this red stamper that says, paid in full. Whew. Oh, that was nice to get out from underneath that one. This is what happens in regard to our sin. The sin, the wages of sin is death. Christ paid that. And you have to pay it twice. And that's an exciting thing to realize. So the ABCs, His wrath is appeased, His gulf is bridged, and His debt is canceled. And we ought to be excited about these various things in regard to sharing with other individuals. I'm going to ask if we just would bow our heads and close our eyes at this particular time. I realize that much of what we've done this morning is probably more in seminar fashion than preaching fashion. But I trust that the Word of God and the practicalities associated with God's Word has been of comfort and of help to you. And I just want to encourage you that whether we want to admit it or not, we do have a debt we're on the outside and we've accepted Christ as our Savior and we know we're going to heaven, we have a debt to others. We can't just sit and let them go. That just would not be right. So we need to realize that even though it may not be within our personality to want to get up and talk in front of people and preach and that type of stuff, we need to realize that there are people that God may be using us to reach, and we must be willing to commit to that. Second of all, there may be some things that need to be done to get ready. There might be some here that have not accepted Christ. Maybe you're here and you're just really, really at that stage in your life, as I was several years ago, that you're thinking, man, I really want to be with God, but I just don't understand. I trust that some of the things we talked about today helped reveal and open the light up for you to take the lid off it. And if that's so, we want the opportunity to rejoice in that. Or if maybe you're saying, I'm getting closer. I can remember dealing with one individual and we went through the gospel and I said, well, you know, what do you think? He said, well, I don't know, but I'm getting closer. Maybe you're at that stage where you're getting closer and you just want to spend some time in prayer and talking with me or someone else. We want to encourage you to do that. Or maybe you're a Christian and you're not prepared because you're just wrestling with bitterness and doubt with God. Can I encourage you that He provides mercy and gentleness to help you with your bitterness, and He does provide great strength to help you be comforted in your time of doubt? And I think if you take care of those things, you shouldn't have to be ashamed to show what God has done in your life. I just want to encourage us as we bow our heads, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you an invitation just to make a decision where you are. We will not have a closing song, but I'm just going to pray, and I trust that you'll be praying, because this is an area where God continually works on my heart to be more faithful in. And I know there's things that I need to work on in regard to God. And if you are in the same place, you can pray at this time too. Father, I ask that you would forgive me for the many times that I've been so concerned about myself that I've not been concerned about the eternal situation of others. Father, I pray that you would help me to have more compassion. Help me, Lord, to see and rejoice in all the things you've done for me and not be so selfish and not want to share that with others. Father, help me to be more concerned about things that take place in eternity than just those things that take place this week, next week, or next year. Father, I pray you would forgive me for the opportunities when it just seemed you were nudging me and I just was too embarrassed or uncomfortable to share anything. Forgive me for the times when maybe I've been too interested in pushing my flesh agenda regarding the gospel and not depending upon your power. And Father, I pray that you will help me to be a better testimony, that I might draw closer to you so that the light will just glow. And Father, I pray for those that are here even this morning. Lord, we have many that are from various background situations. Lord, I pray that you would help each one as they've heard the word, and you have brought them here for a reason, Lord. And whatever that reason is, that your word will not return void and that you'll work in their heart. Lord, I pray for those that are really conscientious about being a helper, a rescue worker for spiritual lives right now, that this might, if not have equipped them, at least got them moving in the right direction. Now, Lord, pray for those that maybe still are seeking themselves and are concerned about where their eternal situation will be, how that they can have hope in this time. And Father, I pray that most of all, you help us to show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the compassion that He shows every time that He shares the truth with people in the New Testament is just so convicting. God, help me to have that type of compassion for people and so desirous to provide for them hope and help, and especially in this time. Again, Lord, we can't stop without praying for a country. Lord, there are great prayers that are going up all around our nation. Lord, I pray that these prayers will make people sensitive to who You are, and they might desire not just to have a chance to talk with some faceless God or some nameless God, but Father, help them to be drawn to the reality that Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way of seeing God, and that no one comes to You except through Him. Father, again, we thank You for this prayer and pray, Lord, that You will work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we...